Let's open God's word now to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. The occasion of Mother's Day gives us an opportunity to look at this passage of God's word that describes the good and godly woman, and that we'll consider that in our message this morning. Our text will be verses 10 through 31 of Proverbs 31, so I ask you to pay special attention when we read those verses. But let's begin at verse 1 of Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what, the son of my womb, and what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. And now begin the words of our text. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships, bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet with meat to her household, maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. This is the word of our God. We thank him for it and ask him to bless it to our hearts and minds in this day and this week. Proverbs 31, which is introduced in verse 1 as the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him, is and has been commonly understood to be words of King Solomon under a different name, perhaps a pseudonym or a pen name, if you will, King Lemuel. The prophecy that his mother taught him, or the teaching that his mother imparted to him. And Solomon's mother, of course, was Bathsheba, who herself had a troubled history. She was raped by King David, and then her husband was murdered. But from that soiled and broken history, the Lord our God, who works miracles, brought a son who became and who was Solomon, and who became king over God's people in Israel. And now Solomon, at the end of the book of wisdom that we know as the Proverbs, imparts under the inspiration of the Spirit the wisdom that his mother Bathsheba gave to him, to his children, and to the generations of God's people that would follow. In the first part of this chapter, verses 2 through 9, we really have the admonitions of a faithful mother to a son who she has raised in God's fear and praise will continue to live in the fear of God in his life and as a king. And those words emphasize that as a young man and as a ruler among God's people, Lemuel or Solomon is to avoid two particular temptations, those of drunkenness and those of immorality, lest judgment be perverted and the name of God be blasphemed. But then in verse 10, our text, which begins our text, Solomon's mother turns to praise of the virtuous wife. She paints a beautiful picture with poetic words. She paints a portrait of the practical virtues that operate day by day in the life of the good and godly woman. As it were, she portrays an orchard of many leafy branches and fruitful branches, and then leads us in the end to the fountain that brings forth all of this fruitfulness, the works that praise this woman in the gates, which is, in verse 30, defined as the fear of the Lord. The woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And so Proverbs 10, verse 31 is the portrait of the good and godly woman, the woman who fears the Lord, the woman who is to be praised, and when she is found, to be treasured. And so let's consider this morning the identity of this woman, her characteristics, and her reward. And let me say, too, by way of introduction, this is the portrait of every godly woman. A good and godly woman, her identity, her characteristics, and her reward. Many have dealt with and wrestled with the question, who is this Proverbs 31 woman? Who is she? What is her identity? And it's safe to say that in recent years, and in much of the material that you may have read about who Proverbs 31 is about, she is the woman who does it all. 10 years or so ago, she may have been touted as the woman who baked bread with flour she milled herself at home, had a clean house with the white picket fence in front, raised children, familiar with chore charts, and had a husband well-fed with hot roast and mashed potatoes every night. Or perhaps in generations long past, she was the woman who canned the fruit of her own garden and patched and repatched the clothes of her children so as not to be wasteful, hanging clothes on the line and washing windows while she sang. And all of these descriptions, as well as the descriptions that you may be thinking of in your own minds, are not wrong necessarily, but I believe they do miss the point, which is to say the gospel message of this Word of God. Yes, this passage does talk about what the virtuous woman, the godly and good woman does. But its focus is not on her activities as much as it is on her identity. It isn't, in other words, so much on what she does as on who she is and how what she does flows from her, who she is, and her understanding and grasp and assurance of that. Her identity, as this passage presents us, is a woman who is a renewed, believing child of God. She believes in God's wise plan for the forgiveness of her sins in Christ, and she is equipped with God's grace to do His will and to glorify His name in her life. Really, her identity has nothing to do with being excellent in all things homemaking or in activities outside of the home. But the truth is that her identity, as God's Word gives it to us, the identity of the virtuous, good, and godly woman is hid with God in Christ. She is not a woman who is striving to carry the burden of her own unrealistic expectations and left feeling burnt out, less than, and discouraged. She isn't one who tells herself that she needs to be a P31 woman who tries but fails day after day. In fact, her identity is not in who she is in her own eyes, her husband's, her children's, or anyone else's, even though the passage does talk about how her husband and her children speak of her, which is highly and with love. Her identity is not in legalistic performances, but in knowing that God has loved her so much from eternity that He sent His only begotten Son, true wisdom, into the world in her skin to die for her sins and shatter every legalistic expectation. And that this God says to her in a slight adaptation of Proverbs 23, verse 36, "My daughter, give me your heart." That's the identity of the good and godly woman, a daughter of the living God, who knows and believes and is assured of that truth. Now, practically speaking, Proverbs 31 does give some more aspects to the identity of this woman. She's a woman of experience. The poem talks about children, a home, a business, the description of the woman that a young wife or mother hopes to grow into, not exactly the one perhaps that her husband will marry. She's a mother. She's a wife. She is not an independent woman, but she is a woman whose identity in God leads her to service and help of others, especially those of her own household and family. The fact that this is her identity is brought out by the high praise that is given to her. Verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies." Or the ESV puts it this way, "Who can find an excellent wife? She is far more precious than any jewel." The immense value placed upon the good and godly woman is unmistakable. Those who read the Bible and take away the idea that the Bible does not appreciate women or undervalues them have missed the point of this passage. This woman is treasured by God, by her husband, by her children, by the poor, and the vulnerable that she cares for. She's treasured because of who she is in Christ, not because of who she is in herself. As a child of God, as a friend of the Most High, as a blood-bought, spirit-filled daughter of the living God, and someone filled with the grace of God for good. That's the identity of the virtuous or excellent woman. Our text goes on to speak of her characteristics, and it does that in great detail. It paints the picture not only with sketchy outlines, but in vivid colors and great detail. And King Lemuel's mother herself understood what she was talking about. But we must understand, too, that this detailed description of the characteristics of the good and godly woman is not a to-do list. These detailed virtues are the fruit of a heart that is in the fear of the Lord, that is in awe of God. And none of these virtues is something to chase after in and of itself. But the Proverbs 31 woman is a God pursuer, and these virtues blossom in her life as a result of that. In other words, the detailed description of her characteristics need to be understood as all the ways she strives to please her God. Her goal is not, first of all, it isn't first of all to please her husband or her children. She's not a slave to her kids or to her virtue-listing mother-in-law, if it comes to that. But she pursues and strives to please God. And that is what makes her, with all her virtues, such a blessing to her home, her marriage, her family, the church, and those she comes into contact with in the world around. And our text lists many characteristics, but I think we can gather them together and describe them under five headings, and that's what we'll do now. Five headings that describe or that summarize the characteristics of the good and godly woman. First, she's trustworthy. Secondly, she is industrious. Third, she is generous. Fourth, she is strong and dignified. And five, she is wise with her words. Now let's unpack each of these a bit more for a couple minutes. First of all, she is trustworthy. She is a woman in whom trust is placed. That's the first thing, in fact, that is the characteristic that is given in verse 11. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. In other words, her husband can put his faith in her judgment and trust her to make wise choices and behave with wisdom. Verse 12 says why this is the case. She will do him good and not evil or harm all the days of her life. And then verse 23 gives the benefit that her trustworthiness brings to her husband. He is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. He is known himself as a man who is supported by the trust that he has in the good and godly woman that has been given to him. She's the confidant and counselor of her husband. She's the one in whom who shares all of his life. Her advice is more valuable to him than that of much cleverer or smarter people by earthly standards. Their hearts are connected so that she knows his thoughts before he expresses them. And all of us husbands know how often our wives are able to articulate what we're feeling when we are having a hard time getting it out ourselves. They can finish our sentences and anticipate what we're going to say before we open our mouths. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Though he seems to be stronger and more self-reliant, his wife is the pillar of his strength. And this confidence extends to his emotions, since Proverbs 30, verse 11 says, his heart, and not just his mind or his thoughts, trust in her. He knows that she will support him and encourage him. He goes out to his calling every day, a calling with weighty and serious responsibilities, knowing that she has his back and will see to the needs of the family while he is laboring to win bread. As a woman who is trustworthy, she is therefore a blessing to her husband. That's what verse 23 especially says. Her husband is known in the gates where he sitteth among the elders of the land. His wife is an enhancement to his life. And this is lifelong, all the days of her life, verse 12, she will do him good and not evil. That speaks again to what marriage is according to God's will. It is the union of hearts between a man and a woman for as long as they both shall live. And her life is spent as a help that is fitting for him. Number two, she's industrious. She's a hard and eager worker. And the text speaks a lot about this. Verse 13, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Verses 19 through 17, or 17 through 19, she girdeth her loins with strength. She is busy and she strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle, her light, goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. In verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. She's eager to work. She's not lazy. To do things for her husband and her children and for others. She does what needs to be done with a heart for her family. Her eagerness is shown in her motivation. Verse 15, she riseth while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. You see clearly, too, in that verse that this is not a woman who does it all by herself. She has her servants. And she has her helpers, described as her maidens or her maidservants. Yet she is still motivated to be busy, to wake up in the wee hours, as we say, in order to provide food for her children and set the schedule for the day. She's not waking up to the chaos of a busy household, but sets the pattern for that household, ready for her children instead of reacting to their chaos. The Word of God here isn't laying down laws in terms of when a woman must do that. It isn't that every woman needs to rise while it is yet night or while it's yet dark, and then, as verse 18 says, stay up after dark and her candle or her light stays on deep into the night. But the principle is that the grace of God motivates the good and godly woman to be busy caring for her household, for her family, whether she's an early bird or a night owl. Her motivation fuels hard work. Verses 17 and 18 and 27. And our passage describes that in Old Testament and in old fashioned language. She, verse 19, lays her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. That refers to two tools that were used for spinning wool before sewing machines and before factories, before factory-made textiles. And verse 27 says that she looks well to the ways of her household and doesn't eat the bread of idleness. She knows the value that she brings to her household. She works till the job is done. She gives diligence to her calling. And as such, she is a resourceful and stewardly woman. Verses 14 and 16 bring that aspect of her industriousness out. Verse 14, she is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. And verse 16, she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. This is not a woman, you understand, who in fact grows all her food in her own yard or makes it all from scratch, contrary to what some interpretations of this passage that you may have read will say. But she is one who knows how to get what she needs and bring it to her home. Whether she needs to be like the merchant ships going afar and bringing home what her family needs. Whether she knows what she needs to get closer to home. It doesn't mean that every woman needs to be a homesteader or a minimalist or any other trend. But it means that she loves Jesus and she loves God and walks out the life that He's called her to in providing for the needs of her household with the earnings that her husband has made at his faithful labors every day. A lot of people make much of the fact that of verse 16 that she considers a field and buys it. But the real gem of this verse is that with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. In other words, she doesn't just obtain things, she doesn't just get things, but she utilizes them wisely. She's a good steward of what she and her husband have. The third characteristic that the text lays out is that she is generous. And this follows from her being a trustworthy and industrious person. She has generosity, not only to provide for the needs of her household, that first of all, but also to reach out to those outside of her household. She's aware of those around her and what they need. She cares for her children with thoughtfulness and with compassion. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She takes care of her children. Not only their physical needs, but their spiritual needs too. She is a woman, verse 28, whose children arise up and call her blessed. They have been instructed by her. They have been taught by her the ways of God, and they respond to that instruction as well as to her care of their physical needs by speaking well of her. Speak more of that in the third point. But as a generous woman, she is also prepared to deal generously with others. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She's a strong woman. She is an honorable person. And she is one who others can come to for strength and for wisdom. And finally, verse 20, she stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is generous to those outside of her household. She is a woman who looks for those who need help, and she does not only come alongside them with words, but she reaches out to them with deeds of love, according to 1 John chapter 3, where the apostle says that when we see those who are in need, who are hungry or who are thirsty or who are naked or who need help, we don't love them only with words, but with by deeds and in truth. This is the good and godly woman. And that may look different for different women in different situations. Perhaps they're able to have someone over for dinner with their family, or perhaps that might be too much with little children at home and lots of responsibilities in that area at dinner time, so she drops off groceries for someone who is having a rough day or a rough week, drives someone who isn't able to the doctor's office, all kinds of ways in which she reaches out her hands to the poor and to the needy. But she is generous and giving of herself. Number four, she is a strong woman. And along with that comes a certain dignity. Verse 25 speaks of that. She has strength and honor as her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. Now, her strength does not mean that she is always fearless, or necessarily that she is always confident. But it means that she has spiritual courage that comes from knowing who she is in relation to God, knowing herself as a daughter of the Lord, who has been molded and shaped by Him, placed according to His will among the circumstances of life, with the husband that He's given, the children perhaps that He has been pleased to give. She is a woman who draws her strength from understanding that she belongs to Jesus and that the Spirit of Jesus lives in her heart. And so she carries herself, she is a dignified woman from a spiritual point of view. She receives respect, not because of the strength she has in herself, but because of the strength that she draws from God. She understands the value of self-control. She's meek. She has that restrained power that only those who are motivated and enlivened by the grace of God give evidence of in their life. And fifth, she is a woman who is wise with her words. She's trustworthy, she's industrious, she's generous, she's strong, and that strength comes out especially in the wisdom of her words. The Apostle James, in his letter in chapter 3, will say that the one who is able to control his tongue has come to know what true wisdom is. And verse 26 of Proverbs 31 says, the good and godly woman is such a person. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She knows when to speak, when to keep silent. She makes choices with wisdom, not emotions. The Word of God here gives the lie to the fact that women are all emotion, and they are. And we as gentlemen need that. We need the tenderness. We need the kindness. We need the sensitivity to others that this text in Proverbs 30, verse 26 brings out about women when it says that in her tongue is the law of kindness. But before that, it says that she opens her mouth with wisdom, which is the ability to apply what you know in an effective, God-glorifying, and helpful way to build up, encourage, and at times admonish others. When she uses her words, she understands their power to build up or to tear down, to spur people toward God or not call or call attention to self. She recognizes that kindness is the law of the Christian life. She remembers the kindness of God's word to her in Jesus. And that law of kindness starts at home, in her speech to her husband, in her interactions with her children, even in how she speaks to them, speaks to her husband when he needs to be challenged about some foolishness that he's about to engage in, and to her children when they need to be corrected because they have broken the law of God. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. This is the portrait of the good and godly woman that the Word of God sets before us. And let's remind ourselves about these characteristics. They are not innate in her, or as they are not innate in any of God's children. She is nothing in herself. God has made her everything that she is. Christ has earned all of these spiritual virtues for her by His death on the cross, by the shedding of His blood to cover her sins. Her untrustworthiness, unindustriousness, ungenerosity, selfishness, foolishness, and spiritual weakness, God the Father has worked His grace in His daughter. The Holy Spirit enlivens her. These are not a to-do list, but the virtues of sanctification, the fruits of the Spirit at work in the daughters of God. And so the reward that comes to her is not of her earning, but is according to the grace, the graciousness of the God who chose her and who keeps her and who will bring her to Himself in glory. There is a gracious reward that God, the text says, God brings to the virtuous woman in time, in her life. And that's especially in verses 28 through 31. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. And the words of his praise are in verse 29. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. She is spoken of well by her children. They rise up and call her blessed. Perhaps that isn't always how it goes, but that means that children, you have to hear this word of God this morning and think about this question. Do you reward your mother with thanks for all that she is and all that she does for you? For loving your father, for being trustworthy in your family, for all the work that she does inside and outside the home for you, for bringing your food from the store and preparing it for you to eat, for modeling generosity toward others by her actions, for showing you, children and young people, what self-control and wise use of words and kind speech toward others looks like. Children, these are things to thank your mom for and ask God for grace to help her continue to practice. Her reward, the text says, also comes from her husband. Verse 29, her husband also rises up and praises her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. And now, husbands, this is the question for us. Is this what we tell our wives from the heart and with thanksgiving to God, knowing that an excellent wife is from Him? Do we tell our wives this when we're with them in private and in front of the children so they can see that, yes, Dad's heart does trust Mom. Dad appreciates Mom for all that she is and for all that she does in our home and in our family. Her hard work, her eagerness, her resourcefulness, her self-control and wisdom. So that your children see that it is your growing conviction as a husband and as a man that of all the daughters of women, none are equal to your wife. Every true wife is the best wife. And even though you can point to your own mother, perhaps, or to other women in the church who have done virtuously and who have their strengths, yours is the wife who excels them all. This is a reward, but it's not certain. And that's to our shame. As husbands, and we pray that God may graciously forgive us. And sometimes the sounds coming from our children are more like cursing than blessing. The praises of our children are non-existent or may sound more like words to hurt than to build us up. And it's at those times that the good and godly woman, and it's at this point that the text reminds us, she is a woman that fears the Lord. When people fail, when those closest to her treat her identity or forget her identity and maybe treat her characteristics with thanklessness or take them for granted, her strength is drawn from the fact that she is of God, and that God gives a reward to come that is certain and that is hopeful. For faithful mothers, this life is a life of labor. In the world is no rest, because ever since sin came into the world, labor has been sorrow and toil. Toil and suffering are the lot of the evil and the good. But Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This promise speaks of the rest that is found in remembering that our identity is in belonging to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood has satisfied for all our sins, and who by his Holy Spirit preserves us to everlasting life. These words of Jesus speak to the fact that there is a rest that remains for the people of God in heaven. And that if the goodness and godliness of the virtuous woman do not praise her in the gates in this life, those will be praised in the gates of paradise. Not because they've arisen of her, but because those works are the fruit of the grace of the God who will say to her, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." So good is God that he gives the promise of a rest to come now, so that in the tumult, the chaos, the pressures and responsibilities of earthly life and the overwhelming task of juggling many different things day by day, year by year, without let up, and sometimes without any seeming prospect of reward or negative result, God's promise stands. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Beloved in the Lord Jesus, and especially beloved mothers and grandmothers, lift up your hearts to God. Trust in him safely and surely, and hear his promise, and know that it's true for you. For Jesus' sake, amen.